Thank you very much for joining us with us here on the Lord's Day evening, broadcasting from Rathfrieland Baptist Church. And again, as ever, we do look to the Lord to bless our meeting this evening. We're coming to Song of Solomon chapter 8. I want to talk about a waste, howling wilderness. Song of Solomon chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse number 5. Thank you again for joining us. For our young people this evening, do remember our youth meeting to follow, our Zoom meeting at 8 o'clock. And the guest speaker tonight will be Mr. Nigel Kissick. So I'd encourage all the young people to tune in a little later on. Song of Solomon chapter 8, and we're going to read from the verse number 7. Verse number 5, please. Song of Solomon chapter 8, and reading from verse number 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, unearned, and inspired word to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to thee this evening. We pray, Lord, you'll help us as we come to the word of God. Lord, as we seek to open up the scriptures, we pray for the leading and the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray tonight, Lord, that the Spirit of God will be the teacher. And Lord, that you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. So Lord, bless our time together. Do speak unto hearts. Remember again the great needs in our land at this time, the great needs within our church. We just commit and commend all to thee, and thank you that you're a great God and one who's worthy to be praised. And so, Lord, continue with us now, for it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, it may have been difficult to try and convince some people about the insecurities and the issues concerning the world in which we live. We entered 2020 with great expectations, a reasonably strong economy, good employment figures. I'm sure personally you probably had many events in your diary that you were looking forward to, and many things that you thought certainly were going to take place. And all of a sudden this virus has really pulled the rug from under our feet. And we find ourselves in a world that is no longer certain and no longer sure. And maybe that's something that God will use even to speak into all of our hearts this evening. As a believer this evening, you know, we still have many certainties. We know from Malachi 3 verse 6, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. We know from Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And no virus can change that. The fact we have a living, loving Saviour. We have one who will never leave us nor forsake us. We have one who's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have one that has given us multitude and multitude of promises, and one who tells us his grace is sufficient. No virus, no tragedy, no calamity can ever change that. And of course, we, as God's people, realize that this old world is not our final home. We read a few things about the world in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, for instance. We're told on whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We discover that the God of this world is Satan himself. He's got the whole world in his hands. Indeed, that's what John says in 1 John 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, or perhaps in the hands of the wicked one. But in spite of this world, and in spite of what's going on, as God's people, we have a special relationship with the Lord this evening. I think we see a lovely picture of this in our reading this evening. Look at verse number 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? In spite of being in the wilderness, in spite of being in this awful, barren situation, which perhaps we find ourselves in this evening, all of us, even nationally and internationally, here is one who's singing through the wilderness. He is one who is progressing through this wilderness. Here is one who is in the wilderness, but certainly she is not of the wilderness. How can this be so? Can you have this tonight? Can you have this hope and assurance and this blessedness that every child of God should have experienced this evening? Let me talk about the waste, howling wilderness tonight. I want to talk about the location. Again, just look at verse number 5, Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? It is Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, that talks about the waste, howling wilderness. It's barren, it's bitter, it's bleak. And of course, the word wilderness is found many times in the Word of God. What would the wilderness speak to us of this evening? I think it speaks of this world. There's no satisfaction. Numbers 21, verse 5, and the people speak against Moses. Here's the people going through the wilderness. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt, listen to this, to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Here is a world that is, there's no satisfaction, there's no food, there's no fruit, there's no water, there's absolutely nothing in this wilderness. It's just a place of broken cisterns. Jeremiah 2, verse 13, for my people have committed two evils, for they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. This world is a place where there's no satisfaction. I'm sure you've seen that. This world doesn't have the answers. This world brings no peace or contentment. There's no satisfaction. You know, it's a place of open rebellion. Again, we just think of some wilderness experiences in Scripture. Numbers 16, verse 13. In the rebellion of Korah, we read this, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? And here are people, and they're rebelling against Moses and Aaron. And they're really saying to Moses, did you bring us here to kill us? And they're rebelling against the men of God. Indeed, they're rebelling against God. Isn't this world a rebellious place? Hasn't the word of God been confined to the dustbin of history? Hasn't God's standards been scorned and mocked and ignored? Haven't men and women openly, boldly, bluntly, and diabolically mocked God and mocked the word of God? You know, this is a place of rebellion. It's a place where there's no satisfaction. It's a place of rebellion. It's a place of desolation. Hebrews 3 verse 17, speaking of the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? You know, there was nothing in the wilderness but death and damnation. And all there is in this world is death and damnation. Because sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's a waste, howling wilderness. There's no satisfaction. It's open rebellion. It's real desolation. It's a place of manifold temptation. Wasn't it in the wilderness that the devil came and tempted the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a place of temptation. And when you look around you, even in your television screens, you can see so much temptation to draw people away from the things of God and to draw them to embrace this old world, this old waste, howling wilderness. But you know, here's a lovely picture. Look at Song of Solomon 8 verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? In spite of the fact the world is a wilderness, here's somebody who's different. Here's somebody who's leaning upon her beloved. Here's somebody who's moving in this wilderness. Deuteronomy again, 32 verse 10, we've mentioned it already. Moses says he found him in a desert land. There's one searching for you tonight. And in the waste, howling wilderness, in spite of the situation, he laid him about. There's salvation for you tonight. He instructed him. There's sanctification. He kept him as the apple of his eye. There's security for you tonight. There's hope in this world tonight. That's what we want to talk about. How can you be like this dear one who's leaning upon her beloved, going through this awful waste-howling wilderness? Do you see the location tonight? Let me say something about our vocation tonight. What can we do in this wilderness tonight as a child of God? What hope can we offer to those who are tied to this wilderness this evening? Well, we've got a glorious message tonight. Let me read to you what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, notice the wilderness again, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you see the picture tonight? You know, we are to preach Christ on the cross. We are to speak about Christ on the cross. You are to live the message of the cross. You know, this story that Jesus refers to takes us back to Numbers chapter 21 again, if you want to turn to it this evening. Again, in Numbers chapter 21, we're bang in the middle of the wilderness. And the children of Israel are going to have an awful experience. You know, God has been good to them. Numbers 21, verse 1. Numbers 21, verse 1. Numbers 21, verse 1. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into thy hand, then will he utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. Here's God blessing and answering the prayer of the children of Israel. But you know, how did they respond? Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people speak against God and against Moses. You see, they're complaining about God. They're complaining about Moses. They're murmuring. Verse 5 again. And the people speak against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And here they're murmuring and they're complaining and they're blaming Moses. They're sinning against God. They say our soul loatheth this light bread, the very thing that spoke of Christ, the bread of life. They loathe the very thing that speaks of Christ. Doesn't that speak of the word this evening? You see their activities here. And then you see the anger of the Lord here. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of people of Israel died. God withdrew the blessings. And God had been good to them, and they turned against God and murmured against God. And God says, okay, let me hold back some of the blessings. I wonder in these days of coronavirus, these days of isolation, these days of restriction, I wonder has God taken something away from you that you really cherished, you really valued, because God wants you to think about him tonight. And this is what's happening. You see the activities, you see the anger of God, and God sends these fiery serpents among the people, and as these serpents would bite the people, they would die. You see the attitude. Look at verse 7. Then the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. I wonder, has God allowed this virus to come into this world that you who don't know the Lord will realize that you've sinned? And I wonder, is God looking to national leaders? Is God looking to many of the countries to realize they've sinned? Will they repent tonight? But listen, what about you tonight? Has God been speaking to you tonight? Jesus said, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And here are these people, and they're in the wilderness, and they're being bitten by the serpents, and they're going to die. How were they going to sort out the problem of these serpents? They couldn't kill all the serpents. They couldn't even get closer. They'd be bitten. They couldn't find a medicine. There was no vaccine available. They could never have a vaccine. They couldn't find something like that. In the wilderness, death is the only outcome. They could ignore the problem, just hope that it would go away. But listen, they still would have died. They could pass a law banning the serpent. What use would that do? You know, if we brought it into the 21st century, no doubt they'd have the hashtag go away serpents, get rid of the serpents, and no doubt they'd have all the movements that you see in society today, but the serpents would still be there and the people would still die. But here the people realize they've sinned and they're crying out to God, for the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen tonight, in this wilderness world, that the old serpent is seeking to lead men and women astray and to take them to a crisis eternity, to eternal separation from God. That's why the Son of Man has to be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at verse 8 in Numbers chapter 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And Moses made this serpent of brass. You see what Christ said? As the Son of Man is lifted up, just like the serpent was lifted up. In what way is this serpent like the Son of Man? You see, this serpent was a picture of the serpents, but this serpent had no poison in it. This serpent was without poison. And you see, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he was without sin. He was absolutely sinless, but he was made sin for us, the one who knew no sin. And just like that serpent represented the problem, Christ took the problem and dealt with it on the cross. Even though he knew no sin, he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, that's the only hope we have for you tonight, is the message of the cross. Here is how you can make it through this wilderness world. Here is what you need. Here is whom you need to get through this world. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And listen, we want to lift up Christ tonight. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He can be your Savior tonight. Do you notice what it said in verse number 8? And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone, you see, it didn't matter who, everyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Notice what they had to do in verse 8 of Numbers 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, all he had to do was look. You see, to look indicated you realize you're the problem. This is where you have to start tonight. You realize you're a sinner. To look was a look of faith, because you know to look anywhere else could do nothing. You had to look in order to live. It was a look of admission, I'm a sinner. It was a look of repentance. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm turning from my sin. It was a look of faith. I'm going to put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Listen, it wasn't enough to be close to this serpent with your back to it. It wasn't enough to intend to look. It wasn't enough even to accept that this would work. You had to personally, individually look, or you would die. And tonight, to have the intention to look, to be close enough to look and to know some in your family who are saved, it's a wonderful blessing. But you must look tonight to Christ if you're going to live and you're going to have eternal life. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go that the way of the cross leads home. You know, that's our vocation in this world, to preach the cross. It was the message of the cross they needed in the wilderness. You know, John the Baptist was in the wilderness of Judea. You know what he said? Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That's the only answer we have tonight. There's not a church in Ulster tonight, I'll tell you, there's not an assembly in the world tonight that can save you tonight. It's Christ and Christ alone you need tonight. That's our vocation, to preach Christ and to preach the cross tonight. Listen, do you see the location tonight? Listen, the wilderness. This old world is just like a wilderness. You see the vocation tonight, Christ and the cross. We as God's people, we want to preach Christ. We want to preach the cross tonight. And then you see the devotion here. We're back in Song of Solomon chapter 8. Song of Solomon chapter 8. And look at verse number 5 again. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Dear child of God this evening, Someone was watching this dear sister, and their eyes are fixed upon her, and they ask the question, who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? This dear sister was like all in the wilderness, but she wasn't off the wilderness. Something different about her. They could see there was something loving about her. She is leaning upon her beloved. Such was her relationship with the lover that people could see that they were very much in love, that she loved this man like a young couple walking holding hands, like a couple with their arms embraced around each other. You can see how much they care and how much they love each other. And here is someone, and whoever's watching, they know there's love here because they say she's leaning upon her beloved. Does the world know tonight, dear Christian friend, that you love Jesus? You know, in this wilderness, and we're especially in a wilderness today, if not before, more so now than ever. Does the world see a child of God who loves the Saviour? You see her loving, you see her trusting. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? It's obvious that she's depending on this man for everything. She's leaning on her beloved. Are you leaning on Christ tonight? Are you trusting the Lord? Is it obvious as people watch? Here's someone who loves the Lord. Here's someone who's leaning on the Lord. Here's someone trusting the Lord tonight. Tell me, have we a backslider? Tell me, have you wandered along your own pathway and you're trying to live without leaning on him, and you're trying to do it in your own, and you find yourself like the prodigal away from the Lord this evening, and there's people who are watching you tonight and they need to see someone who is loving and someone who is trusting? Was the Lord calling you back to these arms this evening? You see one who is loving here. You see she is trusting. I believe you can see she's obeying. She's leaning upon her beloved. Every step that he takes, she's in tandem. She's guided by him every step of the way. And he is pointing the direction and taking her in the direction that he wants her to go. We could put it like this, following Jesus every day to day. Nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. Listen, her footsteps were in tandem with his footsteps. What about you, dear believer, tonight? Listen, there's a world that is watching. This wilderness that we're in, do they see you as different? Like somebody's watching this lady and they could see she loves the Lord. They could see she's trusting. They could see she's obeying. They could see she's progressing. She's not stuck. She's moving forward. She's coming up out of it. She's moving forward. She's progressing. Are you growing tonight? Is this the image that the world sees when they look upon you and look upon me tonight? Yes, we need to preach Christ and Christ crucified. We need to preach the gospel, but we need God's people to live the gospel. Is it obvious tonight that you're leaning? Obvious that you're loving, you're trusting, you're obeying, you're progressing. And here, you see, when you're loving and trusting and obeying and progressing, do you know what happens? You're attracting. You're attracting. When you have a testimony like this and you're leaning upon your beloved, there'll be those who'll stand and say, who is this that's coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I'm struggling. I can't make ends meet. I can't get through. I can't see where there's any light in the tunnel. Life is so hopeless, but look, she's leaning on her beloved. Is God challenging you, dear believer, this evening? Do you see her loving and her trusting and her obeying and her progressing? And because of this, she's attracting. And during these days of lockdown, during these days of isolation, is there anything attractive about your life that would point a dear sinner to our lovely Saviour? Or tonight, do you see the location, the wilderness? Do you see the vocation? We need to preach the cross. You see the devotion, she's leaning upon her beloved. Here comes the question, what made the difference? What made the difference in this dear sister's life Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? You see, in order to get her out of the wilderness, he had to come into the wilderness. Isn't that what Christ did? Christ left the glories and splendors of heaven and came to this sin-cursed world, came to this wilderness, this waste, howling wilderness. Why did he come? Well, back in Song of Solomon chapter 8, verses 5 through to 7, I think you can see one of the answers. Reading from verse number 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals are off for coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly condemned. You know, there's one big answer here. Why did Christ leave heaven and come to this wilderness in order to take us out of it? I'll tell you why, because he loved us. You know, these verses tell us it was an unaffordable love. If a man would give all the substance of his house for his love, verse 7, it would be utterly condemned. You know, you can't buy this love. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. Look at verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. It's an unquenchable love. It cannot be bought and it cannot be broken. It's unaffordable. It's unquenchable. Listen, it's unexplainable tonight. I can't explain why he would love a sinner like me and why he loves a sinner like you. Listen tonight, it's unexplainable. It's immeasurable tonight. It's eternal tonight. We're loved with an everlasting love. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ loved you so much that he left heaven, came to this wilderness world, and like that serpent, he was lifted up on the cross and bore our sin in his own body on the tree because he loved you and because he loved me. Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're in a waste, howling wilderness tonight. This world has no time for God, no time for Christ. And I'll be honest with you, even sinner friend tonight, this world has no time for you. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ loves you tonight. Do you see the location? Do you see the vocation? We need to preach Christ and him crucified. Do you see the devotion? Oh, dear child of God, we need to see men and women tonight and young people who are leaning on their beloved, that they might draw the attention of the world. You see the location, the vocation, the devotion, and then you see the question, what or who made the difference? Well, there was one left heaven and came to this world in wilderness of sin and died the just for the unjust. These are difficult days. And many people are struggling to make it through. How can we make it through? I'll tell you something. Here is first class travel tonight, and it's absolutely free. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? You have two choices tonight. You can go through life and through these days leaning, or you can through these days being lost. And if you die without Christ, you'll be lost for all eternity. Oh, what a wonderful picture. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Is that you tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God this evening. Lord, we thank you for that time in my life. Lord, when you reached down and saved me in this waste, howling wilderness. And yes, tonight, Lord, we are in the wilderness, but thank God we're not off it. And Lord, we even look forward to that day when Jesus will come and we'll be taken out of this wilderness and we'll be with Christ for all eternity. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can lean upon our beloved. May that be the experience of every child of God. May there be something attractive about our lives. But Lord, for those who don't know Christ, speak to them tonight. Lord, may they see to try and get through not just coronavirus, to try and get through life without Christ. Lord, they have no one to lean upon. And to die without Christ will mean hell for all eternity. Lord, speak lovingly, speak graciously. And our prayer is that someone will come and look tonight. Look to Jesus and be saved. For his name's sake, amen. Amen.